This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the first Monday in May after a monster of a weekend in sports. I'm not going to say it was all it was cracked up to be because the two big events, the Kentucky Derby had the favorite win and the fight had the favorite win, and there wasn't that much excitement in the fight, and we'll talk about that. But, man, it was just... You had the baseball. The Royals took 2-2 against Detroit, but lost the last two. The Huskers won two. Husker softball team won two. UNK and Hastings baseball seasons came to an end. The Storm season came to an end. We'll talk with Coach Jim Holton, and the draft is tonight. It starts for the USHL, so we've got all of that coming up on the show today. The Danger struggle, but they win in overtime on Saturday night, 64-61. Now they have the bye week to get ready for the big matchup with Sioux Falls, so that could be a preview of the end of the year coming up on a week from Saturday on the road. The Danger not home again until the 23rd. And then you had the NBA and the NHL. Both had some excitement. The NBA had a buzzer beater, 1 second to go. Gives us a winner in Game 7 between the Clippers and the Spurs. Jimmy, what was number one on your plate this weekend?
On the positive list, if something that was real positive was the Clippers and the Spurs, that seven-game series for a first-round NBA playoff. I'm not going to talk to the people that aren't NBA fans. So the people that aren't NBA fans, you know, turn it off for 30 seconds. But the rest of you that are NBA fans that enjoy that, that was an amazing series where two teams fought so hard that they won on San Antonio won two games on the road. You know, I believe that both teams won two games on the road. The Clippers won two games on the road. So, you know, they had to fight, and it was everything tooth and nail. Great sportsmanship. There wasn't a flagrant foul in any of the seven games. You know, so what a tremendous atmosphere that game was. Now, the fight with Pacquiao, you know, people came out and said this after the fight. They're going, well, this wasn't a very good fight, and, you know, we paid too much money for it, and why did we? Hey, that fight, that was a fight that should have been fought 6 years ago. But Merriweather didn't want to take that chance. He's undefeated. He played his cards the correct way. And is he a winner? Yeah, he's a winner, because guess what? They got $120 million for the winner and $80 million for the forget. So this is a something that goes on in sports that it's too bad that they played, you know, or fought 6 years after they should have been fighting, because that fight should have been 6 years ago. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I watched the fight, and because it was a super mega fight, everybody thought it was supposed to be super mega fireworks. If Mayweather knocks out Pacquiao in the second round, does that make you feel better? No. This thing went the distance. Nobody, listen, ladies and gentlemen,
there's not one of you clowns that paid too much for the fight. There's no way you paid too much for the fight. The most you could have paid for the fight was $100. There weren't sports bars around the area, and if there were, so be it. They're probably very busy, and I think any of our favorite sports bars, let's face it, we're talking $3,500 to $6,000 just to show the fight. Well, you would have got to see all the fights that night. It would have been cheaper for you, $20 for a cover charge. The place would have been full. It was a great Saturday. There's all kinds of other things going on getting you ready for the fight. No way did you overpay for the fight. It's impossible. You sat there and you watched the fight and you'd been waiting for it. And if you wanted to watch the fight, you didn't pay more than $100. It's not possible. So anything that's going on in the world anymore is too expensive. Fine, if that's the way you want to look at it. But how much is a concert anymore? You had a front row seat on a big screen TV to watch the most hyped fight. It wasn't the best fight, the most hyped fight of all time. There is no way anybody paid too much to watch that fight. You wanted to watch it. You paid for it. You went to Fleetwood Mac and Mick got sick, and you still thought you got a great concert. It's just that it was cut too short, okay? This wasn't cut too short. This was all 12 rounds, and it didn't have, this wasn't a movie, people. This wasn't Rocky. This wasn't a movie where you got the exciting end. There were some flurries. But, Jimmy, here's what I thought, and everybody's a cynic. They made too much money to try and make this important. Let's face it, when we used to watch the fights back in the heyday of boxing, guys didn't come out. You didn't see them for a week or two because they were too beat up. Pacquiao's smiling. He's hurt inside, but he's smiling. He's out the next morning. Mayweather's doing all these interviews after the fight because that's what he does. They boxed a tactical boxing match, didn't hurt each other, and both made over $120 million. That's not their fault. That's America's fault. That's the North America's fault, because you all wanted to see it and you wanted to pay for it. Don't tell me that you paid too much for this fight.
Yeah, I think the boxing needed something. And this is what they needed to have. So right now, these boxers, I mean, they're the best we have right now. They're not the best we've ever had. I mean, there were boxing in the... I remember with, you know, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, Joe Frazier, you know, that group, that was very entertaining. George Foreman at the time. You know, we had some people that would fight Mike Tyson. You know, there were some big heavyweights around. But that was way more because you didn't know who was going to win. I mean, you know, you didn't know who was going to win, and everybody wanted to see it, and it was a kind of a – and they entertained it, and we went on and went that way. Kentucky Derby. Here's my thoughts on the Derby. The speed was really holding on the dirt at Churchill Downs the last 2 days, the day before and the day of it. In fact, nobody could come from downtown, even in the Oaks. I mean, they had to be close to the front. And the tactical, those three horses, it's amazing. That's not even the way they run, but they all three ran to the front. The three best horses said, "What? We got to get out early and get." Man, they all got first, second, and third under the first turn. All right, and then they went down the backside.
Never seen a Derby like we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw one where a horse paid $44, and another one came in second, and they stole it. And I'll have to look back and get it to you, Doug. But it happened. Spendebuck one time got out by himself, too, and won by about 6 lengths. Got about a 5-length lead, got clear, and went on and won the race. And didn't pay that much. Paid about $8.80. It was like 3-1. But there was a race where two long shots went first and second. And I'll get back to you later on with what that was. But it paid pretty well. I mean, like I said, it was 220-1 shots. But they just went out, and that was the way it was. But the other horses thought they would lose their speed and something would come in close. But these three went out, and then when they turned for home, it was a three-horse race. And then it turned with about, you know, 220 yards, it was really a two-horse race. You know, and then with 110 yards, it was really a one-horse race. So,
I think the strange thing is then when you get to watch the race again, and then you get to see where all the horses that you're trying to pay attention to are, where they were, you find some things out. On the Kentucky Oaks, our analysts were pretty much on. They missed the Oaks. They got the Derby. Michelle Yu and Gino Bucola. Because in the Oaks, the favorite got in a problem where it couldn't get out of it. It got six wide. There was everybody was trying to run the same race in the Oaks, and they had six horses bunched together. And so every time they made a turn, three of them were too wide. They were running a race that was much longer than the rest of the horses. So it didn't win. But the sprinter got out there, Lovely Maria, I believe was the name of the horse, and won the race. In the Kentucky Derby, some people liked, Michelle's horse that won the Santa Anita, the eight horse, was the leader all the way until the end when Farrell overtook it. And Dancing Moon, who was kind of the long shot pick of Gino, he finished fifth. He finished fifth. Materiality, which was the one I liked, and Carpe Diem. Materiality was sixth. Carpe Diem was setting in fourth the whole way around, was in no problem, didn't get boxed in, just wasn't a good enough horse, and ended up finishing, I think, 10th or 11th.
You know, I think the three, Materiality didn't get out of the starting gate as well as it could have. If it could have got out, it kind of went up at the front with the leaders. It maybe would have made the race a little differently tactically. But, since the, I believe the trainer has the 8 and the 18, he was going to send the 8, and say, okay, well, you get out there just in case we need somebody to wire this. So his speed, his tactic was a little different. Of course, the jockey and the owners and everybody else wanted to win the race on the 8 horse. You know, they have no... just because the trainer had them both, and maybe he didn't care. The owners and the people involved did. So, yeah, there's no doubt there. Doug, the other thing is they ran that in 2:03, and I think, was it 2/5?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, because I'm not quite as accurate as you, and our buddy James reminds us of that as well on the Dent Popper inbox, that it was a slow derby. So even though the fast horses got out, they were fast. They didn't have to have the lead. They had the lead because the Derby was slow.
Well, yeah, and they got out and decided just to tactically go, okay, there's no sense using my horse up because they all wanted to win. But if the time, I think the time was 2:03 and 2, is that mm-hmm. correct? Okay. The 1/5 of a second. That means Secretariat, when he beat Sham, he beat him by 2 lengths. So Sham ran 1:59.4. So what that actually means, if you do it, is 18 lengths back behind Sham are these three horses. They're 18 lengths behind Sham, who didn't win the Kentucky Derby. You know, so that gives you a little perspective. Now, you got to remember, they ran that on a little harder track. The surface was a little harder at that time, a little more like pavement than it is like with the dirt. So they're not going to run quite as fast. It wasn't that the speed wasn't going to have records. You know what I mean? There wasn't going to be a record in the Derby. But that gives you an idea how many lengths back those horses were compared to the 73 group.
So the Preakness is coming up in 2 weeks. What does that tell you then, Jimmy, about American Pharoah? It won but ran a slow race. Does that mean we probably won't have another Triple Crown winner?
It's very unlikely that we're going to have another Triple Crown winner. Very unlikely. He had to use a little bit of horse. You know, when you have to use that much, because he had to fight, dig in, and he had to fight the last 110 yards. So he used quite a bit. You know, Doug, this is a heck of a story, and it's not very many people are going to be interested in what I have to say. You have to be a really horse racing. But in 1935, Omaha won the Triple Crown. A horse called Omaha won the Triple Crown. Somebody can look this up. But when he lost a race in between there. You know, that's what's amazing. I mean, what I'm saying is
there was a race in the Triple Crown.
Yeah, he ran a race. He didn't win three straight races. He won the Triple Crown, but 1935, he lost a race in between there. I think it might have been the Wood Memorial. I don't even know for sure what it was, but it was a big race. But he got beat that race. You talk about, hey, you ran this 2 weeks, then run this race 2 weeks later, and then run it. Hey, those people, they ran all the time. You know, so I mean, yeah, that's kind of it's just different. Now, people are going to wait. They're going to hold their horses back. There's some horses that got scratched. They might wait for the Belmont. They might wait for the Preakness. But these closers aren't going to necessarily win the Belmont just because a horse closed. Oh, we need another. That's not the way it works. It's about pace makes the race.
We'll talk. Ooh, nice. Pace makes the race.
You've heard that.
That's
before.
On a T-shirt somewhere. Yeah. Hey, if you'd like to be part of the Doug and Daddy Show, you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can call the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Or as always, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. As John did, he says, hey, a big shout-out to the Storm coaching staff for an awesome season. Hope they all stay and continue this awesome ride. I know he has family up north, but wow, huge get if he stays on with the Storm. One of the best coaches ever with the Storm. Thanks, John. No doubt about it. We'll talk to the coach. He's not I don't think he's going to flat out tell us what's up next in the next 15 minutes, but he might. We'll talk with Jim Holton as the Doug and Daddy Show continues after this.
Digger's Green Thumb is a locally owned greenhouse in Kennesaw. Come see the selection of the finest bedding and vegetable plants, hanging baskets, and gifts galore for your mom this Mother's Day. You will find geraniums, hanging baskets, and planters at a great price and unique garden ornaments that you just have to see to appreciate. Show mom how much you appreciate everything that she does by brightening her garden and her day. Digger's in Kennesaw, one block south of the tracks on South Smith Avenue. We know how your garden grows with plants from Digger's.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mainly cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms around, high temperatures in the upper 50s. Tonight, chance for thunderstorms, a low of 54. Thunderstorms possible Tuesday, 73.
Right now, 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Here at Midway Auto Leadership Broadcast Booth, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Hey, wing lovers, you know the Chicken Coop has great sauces, great flavors, and great wings. But have you ever tried the new duck wings? Give them a try. If you've tried the chicken and you love them, you're going to like the duck wings as well. These are Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks. They put the wings in your favorite sauce, 14 different flavors, including the new mango habanero. So for something new, something tasty, something a little different when you visit the Chicken Coop, try their new duck wings. And, of course, you can have anything on the menu, whether it's a salad, an appetizer, steaks, burgers, pizza. It's not just so-called, quote, bar food. Check it out at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Of course, it's Monday. That means Coop Koozie Night. You have the koozie. If you haven't bought it already, it's a $5 koozie. You put 12-ounce cold ones in there from 5 to 10 every night for just a dollar. That's every Monday night while you're watching your favorite sporting events, whatever they may be, at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Well, I missed a lot of predictions over the weekend, Jimmy. I just did. I missed some predictions. One of those was I thought we would still be playing hockey for the Tri-City Storm. And Coach Jim Holton is going to join us as they get ready for the draft. And, Coach, I'm guessing you kind of thought that too. Good morning.
Yeah, I had greatly anticipated the fact that we'd still be playing. But as we all know in sports, it's tough things to predict.
The Storm fell by a goal on Friday night and then they got out of the gate. They scored in the first 35 seconds on Saturday, but then Sioux Falls scored five in a row. But without physically being able to be there, Coach, like we were for the home games, I'm guessing the shorthanded goal on Friday night might have ripped the guts out of everybody. Was that the case?
Well, we battled back. It wasn't a Picasso by any stretch of the imagination, but I liked our resolve in the game. battled back to 3-3, and then they scored a goal from, you know, in the corner below the goal line, just a horrific bounce with a minute and a half to go. And yeah, it was a tough one to bounce back from because we were in a position to steal a game and put them on the ropes. And in a short series in terms of three games, the tide can turn quickly. But I liked the way we played in a really, really highly ironic sense. I thought the last game might have been the best team performance aside from the result in our playoffs. Our guys never give up. We ran into some situations that we couldn't control. But I like the fact, I mean, we outshot them, we outchanced them. Our compete level was very high. It just, in my mind, just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, Dave Greek was at the games, and he called me on the phone and told me, he said, oh, wow, it was a really tough goal with about a minute to go that hit you. Talk a little bit. It was a shot from like halfway across the ice, yeah. You know? I mean, tell a little bit about that shot. What happened there exactly?
Well, I wish I could tell you what happened. The player was buried in the corner, and his skates were probably below the goal, and he just turned and fired it in the general direction of the net, and it hit, I'm not sure if it hit Alex's skate or stick or whatever, but went in the net. It's unfortunately, it's a shot that if he takes it 100 times, might go in once. But for our sake, it found a way in the back of the net. And that was a game we had all the momentum at that point. We were losing 3-1 with 9 minutes to go in a tough building, and our guys showed incredible resolve to come back and tie it up with 5 minutes to go, and suddenly now, you know, that magic word momentum, we have it on our behalf, and I think we're going to win that game, probably heading into overtime, feeling good about ourselves, and in the blink of an eye, now we're down with a minute to go. We even had some good looks with the goalie out, but just couldn't get the tire, but that's a tough one to come back from.
Jim Holton, head coach of the Tri-City Storm, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So the quick turnaround for the first time in this series, you ended up playing back-to-back nights. So what was the feeling between games 3 and 4?
Well, the game 3 is a tough one to bounce back from, but we talked about it and the fact that, and we talked a lot about it, the playoffs is about being mentally tough and dealing with adversity. I mean, we haven't had to deal with a ton of it this season, but I like the way our guys rallied around Saturday. We made a bit of an educated decision to go with Jarrett Rutledge, which was, you know, sometimes your gambles pay off, sometimes they don't. It was a tough spot to put him in, but my concern was more, Alex was having a tough time getting back around after a tough goal, and he had been terrific. And our goaltending was the backbone of our team throughout the season, but it was a tough spot to put both kids in. So it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Went with Jared, and unfortunately just didn't work out for us.
Coach, I know you're disappointed now, but when I'm going to reflect on the season for you as just somebody that doesn't really pay that much attention to hockey, but I just love sport, is the community has really risen with you. They like you. You're an easy interview for us. You've always been real humble about winning this year, but I'm telling you right now, you turn this thing around. You should feel very satisfied with what you did this year.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, but I honestly believe the credit goes to our core of guys, the guys that are in our room, and they were a pleasure to coach. I mean, they put the joy back in coaching, and straight from, you know, I think of the commitment that these kids made in the summer to fitness. They came in just fabulous shape, and it was a great indicator that we were going to do probably some special things this year. And you're right, it's hard to have perspective right now. It's still pretty raw, but I think we've established ourselves as a team that, and a franchise now that can do things properly. We have a great commitment from our kids, and hopefully this is a stepping stone and a turning point for the franchise where we can be one of those perennial contenders that you always want to be.
So that means you will come back next year? Is that what that means? You're going to be coaching here next year?
Well done, Jimmy.
That's well worded. Well played. Yeah, we're still talking, and we will continue to talk. I need to decompress for a bit. I need to get back, have some in-depth conversations with my family. But Mr. Brooks and I have been in constant communication, and we're both on the same page, moving in the right direction.
Well, Kirk Brooks is a pretty smart guy, or he wouldn't be where he is. I mean, there's no doubt that the Storm want Jim Holton, but let's face it, Coach, we've nudged you a little bit on this. The job you've done here, there's the next level, and there have to be opportunities there for you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the way we've always worked as a family is that we just kind of take the opportunities as they arise. But I will tell you that, and I've been in the coaching game for a long time, this is one of the best situations that I've ever been in terms of when you factor everything in terms of the people that you surround yourself, that you work with, the people that you work for, the community that you're in. When you factor all those things in, this is a terrific place, and it's going to take one hell of an offer or opportunity somewhere else to better this.
We're talking with Jim Holton here for another couple minutes because I want to get into the draft. But I guess something that I didn't realize, and sometimes you're looking at the frosting on the cake and you don't dig in there a little bit. It's a long season. These kids are away from home. They're living with their sponsor parents here. And I guess, I don't know that there's a perfect way to put this, but it was kind of brought to my attention recently that, these kids, they kind of want to get home too. You want to play well, you want to have a great season, but then the playoff, I mean, there's, outside of hanging a banner, they're not making $100,000 for winning the Clark Cup. Does that play into the postseason at all? Because this is something we haven't got a chance to talk about because the Storm hasn't went deep for 8 years.
You know what, it does, it's a very good question because it does on a lot of junior teams. My experience is in junior is that it's a natural instinct at this time of year to want to go home. But I can tell you from firsthand experience that our dressing room was as crushed emotionally as I've seen in 15 years of junior hockey. So that tells me very few guys were thinking about going home. And that's not always the case. As I said, I've spent more than a decade coaching this age group. And I mean, that was one of the most emotional, difficult moments I've ever had as a coach trying to address that group after our loss. And that just tells me how tight this group was, how special it was, because it's unique. So your question is valid most years, but it wasn't this year.
That's good to know. Draft tonight, a lot of people, unless they're diehard hockey fans, and I've been doing this for 15 years with this Storm, and sometimes I still don't get it. There's phase one tonight. There's phase two tomorrow. Explain what's going to be going on here over the next 48 hours.
I was hoping you guys could explain how our draft works because going into my second year, I still don't really know. But basically, tonight is the stock for the future. It's to build a list for the future. So we'll pick 10 players tonight who will be hopefully part of the Storm in 2 years' time. Tomorrow is phase two, and that's more of a here-in-the-now draft to cut down to the chase. That's kids that are eligible to come in and play right away. The ticker, I guess, here is that we potentially one or two players that we pick tonight could play in our team, but they'd be very, very young. But it has been done, and there will be players born in 1999 that will play in our league next year. So it's two-phase. Tonight's more or less kind of the big picture. You're looking down the road. Tomorrow is more looking to address some immediate needs. For example, last year's draft produced Wade Allison, Mason Appleton, Alec Dillon in the first couple rounds that obviously came in and made huge impacts right away.
Coach Jim Holton with us here. Yeah, Mason was the third overall pick last year for the Tri-City Storm. So where do these, Coach, there's so many, there's so much hockey out there that it's hard to even scout as opposed to other sports out there. But let's say you draft a kid that was born in 99 in phase one, but then you got to get kids for immediate needs. How do these kids fall between the cracks? Is that the way to say it, that weren't previously drafted, and then you find an Appleton and you find a Dillon?
Yeah, what happens are a lot of them have been drafted. It's a unique situation, and this adds to the confusion for not only our fan base, but also those of us involved in the league that came in relatively new, is those futures list, if they're not on a team, so we draft 10 guys tonight, if they're not on our team in 2 years, they go back into the draft eligible pool. So that's how it ends up being. We'll end up drafting 18 kids tomorrow, and probably half of them will have been property of another USHL team at some point earlier in their career. It's kind of a plan to open up more opportunities for players. For example, if you had a powerhouse team and your futures guys can't get on your roster in 2 years, then they would be effectively held out of the league. But it adds a lot of confusion to it. So it's not as though you're picking through a ton of leftovers. It's more or less the pond has been restocked.
And what will the team, what are your needs? What do you got to address, I guess, again, for the fans out there, the key pieces that you'll be losing off this year's team that you'll have to address right away?
Well, the most glaring need is center ice. We've lost the majority of our centermen. We're not sure on a guy like Connor Bellisano if there's a possibility he could get a late scholarship offer. Nolan Abel is our only age-eligible returnee down the middle, so center is going to be first and foremost the need, and then probably on the wings and in net. We're in decent shape on the back end. We had probably three guys returning, and then we're pretty comfortable with three other guys off of our futures list from last year's draft. So probably, in my eyes, center and goalie would be our number one priorities.
You talked about it before the series, that Sioux Falls had kind of caught lightning in a bottle with a couple of trades and had really fired it up here, where you were more consistent all season long. I assume you probably think that they can win this whole thing?
Yeah, I do. They're on one of those magical runs that we see occasionally in sports, and it sometimes defies description. The best way I can put it is, normally on any team, any sport, come playoff time, you need people to elevate. But if you get a third of your roster to elevate their performance, you got a chance to go a ways. I can honestly tell you that probably 80% of the Sioux Falls roster played above where they played during the regular season. And hence the reason, and we see it occasionally in sports. There's all kinds of different examples out there, but I just think their confidence and the role they're on right now. And I said before the playoffs started, I thought any one of the eight teams in the playoffs could emerge as the winner, and I still believe that.
Dubuque and Muskegon, they've had some lopsided games, but they're going to a Game 5. That'll be tomorrow night. So Dubuque and Muskegon winner will play Sioux Falls, the fourth seed out of the Western Conference, for the Clark Cup, Jimmy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, he made a great point, Coach did, too, about in some sports that does happen. Ohio State maybe caught fire in football this year after they started off, you know, barely beating Navy and losing to Virginia Tech and struggling with Indiana. And then all of a sudden they kind of had a couple quarterbacks go down and the whole team stepped it up. And that was an example I think Coach is talking about. I can see that in the NFL every once in a while. Somebody will catch fire. A sixth seed will just get in and just take over, you know. So great point.
Now you can sit back and take care of the draft and watch a little of the Stanley Cup, Coach.
Absolutely. I watched about three games last night. You know, what can you do on your first day off other than watch hockey?
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. We'll chat again. Best of luck in the draft and whatever the future holds. Just, again, a great season. As we kind of wrap it up, is there anything that we haven't touched on or anything that the listeners need to know about the team?
No, I just I think it's important that the fans know how grateful we were for their enthusiasm and the excitement. And as you alluded to, not just at the rink, but in the entire town. It's really neat. That's, to me, the beauty of junior hockey is small communities that rally around it. And it's really unique. Our kids really appreciate the experience of living in Kearney and being part of a community that became real passionate about hockey. And I think it's really hoping it's something that we can build on down the road, because when this building is full and the energy and the excitement, there's no better place to play.
Coach, best of luck, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the support.
Thanks, man. Head coach of your Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The draft takes place the next couple of days, which I guess now is a little more convenient for them. They're in full hockey mode, but how much can you concentrate on that when you're deep in the battle of the playoffs? But I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, you know, and here's another thing. You know, he never brought up the time where the ice got messed up a little bit. You know, he didn't bring that up. He just saying, hey, let's go on and play hockey. And, hey, you know, that Sioux Falls had nothing to do with that and didn't look for any excuses. And that, like you said, that was a really tough, you know, goal that they gave up, where a guy just kind of takes a wicked hack at it and goes, hey, hope that goes in. You know,
Storm probably should have won Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
They probably should have won Friday, but that's why they keep score, right?
That's right.
888-455-ESPN. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Hey, Midway's pre-owned vehicle selection is at an all-time high and continues to grow every day. Stop into Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, to choose from a late-model vehicle or a budget-friendly used car that's sure to fit your needs. Of course, with graduation coming up, maybe you're sending the kids off to college. Maybe they just need a work vehicle. Perfect when you choose from the selection of gently owned cars, trucks, SUV, vans, crossovers, and more. Midway has you covered with a multitude of used cars available on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and you can also check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the NFL draft after this.
Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has several certified plumbers on staff that can take your call quickly. Projects like new construction, renovations, remodeling, higher efficiency equipment upgrades, backflow prevention, retrofits, and everything in between. Day or night, they will gladly accept your emergency call. For over 60 years, Anderson Brothers is the place to call for plumbing.
Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Clevenger delivers propane, gas, and diesel fuels on site when you need them, offering express gas stations in both Kearney and Gibbon. Congratulations, seniors of 2015. Congratulations to all the area 2015 graduates from Clipper Publishing. Read about all your local news and sports in the next issue of the Gibbon Reporter, the Shelton Clipper, and the Wood River Sunbeam, or online at clipperpubco.com.
Dale Carnegie Training, the talent development company partnering with success-minded businesses who have a few things in common. They are optimistic about their business future. They have strong teams already in place, and they are committed to providing resources for continued talent development. Imagine for a moment what the changes in a business would be with an energized team, working in harmony, resolving issues without escalation because of the talent being developed in their emerging leaders. Have you been looking at your next generation of leadership? Do you have people who are asking for ways to position themselves for added responsibility and growth? Check out our resources. They're available at 402-399-9416 or on the web at dalecarnegie.com.
Sales and leadership classes are forming now for a June start in the Tri-Cities. Call Tom, your Dale Carnegie Key Account Consultant, at 402-399-9416.
Superstation, Doug Gooda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday program. Glad to have you along. Gonna get a little moisture this week, it looks like, Jimmy.
Good.
And not just because my TNL's on. Not just because your TNL's on. Not just because it's graduation or Mother's Day and we might have a few tears out there. It's because Mother Nature is going to be there for us. But it's not going to be that way all summer long. As you know, as farmers across the country, you need to have the right moisture provider, which we call a pivot system. And why not have a TNL hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system? It's the best around. Superior reliability, low maintenance, so you don't have to tinker with it during the summer. Safety, the simplicity of their hydraulic design, and of course put the PPC3 on it. You can control it on your GPS, whether it's your smartphone, your own computer, wherever you're at. Start it, stop it, change directions, and you can put right amount of moisture, water on your crop all season long. They're like no other. Contact your local TNL dealer today or visit them online at TLIRR.com. Well, Mark Schlabaugh is one of the couple guys, and of course works for ESPN.com, that will continually update the college football top 25. They'll put the one out right after the national championship game. And then after spring ball, there's very few changes usually, but they'll put one out. And the number one team is not a surprise, and you're defending national champs from Ohio State. But I think the number two team is, and it just shows you now that coming into a major conference, how much it can help a team. And TCU is who he has number two right now, followed by Oregon, Auburn, and Southern California. The old nemesis might be back.
Yeah, the team that beat the University of Nebraska in the bowl game, USC. But
that tends to happen lately. Whoever we play in the bowl game is supposed to be just butt kickers the next year. or whoever beats us in the non-conference, like UCLA.
Georgia was always highly ranked, weren't they, afterwards? It never really worked out for them. But hey, what do you think when they have the draft and Amir Abdullah goes in front of Randy Gregory? Yeah. Didn't surprise you at all?
Big whoop. It's just amazing to me that how Randy Gregory let millions of dollars get away from him.
Yeah.
I mean, now he can go earn it again, but he already sort of earned it. And then just by nothing he did on the field, lost. We're trying to figure out how much, and I guess I should look. I don't know if the contract's up there for the 5 through 13, but that's usually in that $10 to $15 million range. He's not even going to get probably not a million.
Yeah, it cost him $10 million, probably. It's
amazing.
About $10 million. But when they talked about him, they said Amir Abdullah from Nebraska, and one of the guys said that one of the scouts told him that Amir Abdullah was one of the classy. He was the classiest player he had ever talked to about off the field, the things the NFL's looking for on off the field items. So in that, I mean, they really were very positive about Amir. Made me kind of proud because, you know, Amir has always been a very positive role model. He stayed out of any kind of controversy, you know, with when Bo Pelini was fired, he never made a comment one way or the other. He just kind of let things handle it on its own. He wasn't like he was anti anybody. He just played the game and worked really hard and a joy to have on our team. And, you know, we'll look back at Amir Abdullah and we'll look and it'll hopefully, you know, if he makes it in the NFL, we'll look back and say, hey, look at this guy. He was the guy that played for the University of Nebraska and we needed to appreciate him more when he was here.
And Randy Gregory, I was hoping the Cowboys would take him. Here's the deal. I'm going to catch crap if he doesn't pan out. And if he does pan out, we got a great football player and finally a Husker that I can root for on the Cowboys. I've mentioned this before. Dallas doesn't take Nebraska football players. They all end up in the Redskins. Heck, even Cole Manhart now, the UNK All-American, is going to be with the Eagles in the same division. That just seems to happen. I mean, Mook Kamara is with the Giants. Go somewhere else. Get the hell out of our division. I want to root for you, and which I still do. But, I mean, it's just nobody ever really – that's why I was rooting for Maher when he got the chance with the Cowboys. I mean, I'm always going to root for Brett Maher. But, I mean, man, if he was kicking for your team, if you got a guy playing for your team, Danny Wood – I mean, Danny Woodhead's never played for a team that I disgustedly hated. I mean, the Jets, the Patriots – he may have a little more time now with Melvin Gordon. That could be a 1-2 punch there for the Chargers. But just the case that it is. And, of course, Kenny Bell, I think I don't think he's going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. They're pretty deep at wide receiver right now.
Yeah, where did he get?
Good for him. They went in the fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round.
And I think he's good enough. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that Tampa Bay is the place to be with the young, talented wide receivers. Even on a bad team, they got young, talented wide receivers.
Yeah, there may be a trade there. You know, there'll be quite a few trades, you know, made at some time during the season. Correct, Doug? But, you know, with Kenny Bell is the type of player, though, that I think maybe can play in the NFL. You know, he's got some of the things you need to have, and he seems to be able to get open and make some big plays and some big catches.
So we'll see if it all pans out for those gentlemen. And again, Cole Manhart signs a free agent deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, and some other Huskers have also made some free agent deals, and those are probably filling in more and more even as we talk. But it looks like Jake Cotton with Houston, Zaire Anderson with Denver, Trevor Roach with the Cincinnati Bengals, and Josh Mitchell with the Indianapolis Colts. So those are a few of them that have already got the job done.
Right. Hey, one thing I wanted to mention real quick was talking about college football here in the NFL draft is a good friend of mine, Tim O'Day, just found out he's going to the MAC as a referee, you know, which has improved his stock, went up to the, and I'm really happy for him. It's something he really worked hard for.
Spring games.
Tim O'Day from Hastings is going to the MAC and as a referee. And he works the danger games, you know, and is a high school official in Nebraska in basketball and stuff. So
when we come back on the show, we have been efforting Cole Manhart, and I know he's a busy cat, and we've had some touch. It's just that we haven't officially lined him up, and we hope to do so here very soon. But his coach, Daryl Morris, has agreed to come on the show and talk about Cole. We're going to talk to Coach right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish?
The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Who's going to assemble a buffet fit for a mom? Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill, with a world-famous array of lip-smacking ribs, stickin' breakfast items, and savory three-meat dinner buffet and delectable salad bar capped with decadent desserts. Make reservations today for the Mother's Day brunch at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. 9 to 2 Mother's Day. Enjoy dining off the menu beginning at 2. Senior and children's pricing available. Celebrate mom with a buffet banquet at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. West 2nd Street, across from the water park, Hastings.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Did you enjoy the NFL draft this weekend? I'll tell you what, more people like the draft than the Kentucky Derby in our Midtown Mart cooler question. That's fine. I like them both. 71% said they enjoyed it very much. Will the winner of the Kentucky Derby also win the Triple Crown? And that's American Pharoah. That is our Midtown Mart cooler question. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. That too quick to pick, but what do you think? American Pharoah? No. Are you going just because that's the odds, or because you don't think this horse is good enough to win it?
Well, probably because of the odds. You know, probably because of the odds. I just say that. And I think that a lot of horses, you know, they had 20 horses running that race. You won't see that in the next ones. You'll probably see maybe 8 or 9 in the Preakness, and then you will see quite a few, maybe a 12-horse field in the Belmont.
Well, that's our Midtown Mark cooler question. Vote on it anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, it's funny how things work. During the break, we have made contact with Cole Manhart. We're going to talk with him in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk with his collegiate head coach, Daryl Morris, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Jimmy Langan. Daryl, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Morning, boys. How we doing?
Well, thanks for giving us the time. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Cole's name had been talked about, I think, maybe since his sophomore season, about how things were going for this young man. First, have you had a chance to talk to him this weekend?
We have communicated back and forth in probably the last couple of weeks several times. Him giving me updates. You know, he was making some trips and trying out for some teams and having some meetings. And he told me probably a week to 10 days ago that he thought the Eagles were the most interested club in him and would probably make a move relatively rapidly at the end of the draft. So that appears to be what happened.
Yeah, Coach, you know, when they talk to them about that, did they kind of tell them, hey, you know, we're probably not going to draft you, or hey, we might get you in the 7th round? Do they say things like that, or do they just tell you, hey, we're going to get you right afterwards?
Well, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, you know. I mean, they did send an executive to his home in Colorado to visit with him. So, you know, they showed an interest. I think they probably gauge the water and find out whether they're going to be able to get him, if they're going to have to spend a draft pick on him, or can they get him as a free agent. And Cole's agent, I think, had probably been in communication with him. So I think it was not a surprise to Cole, his agent, or the Eagles.
Daryl Morris with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're talking about Cole Manhart getting a chance here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Daryl, how did his draft stock change between his junior and senior year?
Well, I think it changed quite a bit, actually. I mean, he came out of his junior year as a consensus first team, all MIAA players, offensively the only one that was in the league, and I think that helped him a lot. And then we did some things with him offensively. You know, we actually lined him up at a wing back and put him in motion and did some different things that highlighted his athleticism. One of the reasons why the Eagles like him is the Eagles like their linemen to be able to get up and run, stretch the field horizontally, and give their running back an opportunity to find a hole outside the tackle box and then get downfield. And Cole can do that. Cole will probably be looked at as a center, guard, and tackle all on the right side. He's probably not going to be big enough, and he probably doesn't have the weight potential to be the left tackle, but he has the ability to get up and run and play center, guard, or tackle, much like Stephen Gooden did for the Giants.
I'm going to tell you what, any Loper fan that sees him up close at practice or at the banquets or anywhere are going to go, what do you mean he's not big enough? He's a big boy.
Yeah, well, he is a big boy, but, you know, I think when they weighed him, he was, last I knew, he was 298. You know, that left tackle in the NFL is probably going to have to be a 320, 335, 40 guy. And so, you know, he's a little bit more mobile. He's a little bit slimmer in the hips than maybe somebody that's going to be able to play left tackle. But his agility and his ability to possibly play center, play guard, and play right tackle is going to bode well for him.
Yeah, Coach, I think that's very interesting what you said about his quickness and his athleticism. In the Eagles, they do stretch the field more than anybody in the NFL. In the center position, he'll probably be having to snap the football out of the shotgun formation. Did you ever use him that way at all?
You know, that's the only position that Cole never played for me was center. He played every other position, including wingback and H-back in games, but never played center. But we worked at it. He worked at it and has continued to work at it since his collegiate career got over. So I do not look for that to be a difficult thing for Cole to do. Stephen Gooden never played center for me, but he also snapped the ball in games for the Giants. So it's something that they can teach him, and I think he's made for it.
Just another minute here with Daryl Morris before we send him off to meetings. Have you talked with Pete Trausch at all?
You know, I have talked to Pete. Pete is comfortable with his decision to leave football and start a career in agriculture. And he played in a bowl game. He went up against Alabama's number one nose guard and felt like he performed extremely well. He had a lot of satisfaction from playing that well against that caliber of a player. And I think that just allowed him to move on to the next phase of life, which is what we try to prepare the kids for at UNK in the first place.
Back to Cole. Just, was there a connection with the Eagles? I mean, sometimes you just got a scout that's familiar with us, like a UNK. Was there any connection there at all?
No, you know, I don't know that we know anybody with the Eagles organization. I think the conversations that we had with their scouts when they would come through, they had some interest. He did fit their profile as to what they're looking for in an offensive lineman. They're not going to be the biggest offensive line, and that might be because their coach has a collegiate background, but they are going to be one of the more agile offensive lines, and I think Cole can easily fit into that kind of a situation.
And because I wouldn't know if I looked at it either, how do you guys feel, you and Cole, when you talked about what the Eagles have along the line? Does he got a I mean, athletically, we're going to hope he has a shot, but do they need a Cole Manhart?
You know, they don't have a tremendous amount of depth, and that's one of the reasons why that Cole and his representation, his agent, were excited about the opportunity with the Eagles because they don't have a ton of depth. They're not stacked with a bunch of draft picks, and so they just felt like this was a, you know, I had a half hour conversation about 3 weeks ago with the offensive line coach for the Falcons, and that guy could talk about specific games and specific things he saw Cole do on film, and but they just felt like the Eagles, in terms of how they sat at that position, was a really good fit for him.
Eagles, Atlanta, is there anybody else in case he gets cut and has a chance to go with another team?
Yeah, I think there, you know, San Diego had some interest in him. I remember the day after I got fired, the Jaguars were in the office and the Panthers were in the office. And so I think Cole has a lot of options. I think a lot of people took time to interview him. You know, the thing I think that people are going to be able to take pride in with Cole Manhart, not only is he one of the better players that has played at UNK for quite some time, but he's also one of the better men that have gone through that institution as a student athlete. So, you know, Cole will be good. He's smart. He can learn what they want him to learn. He can think on the run. He has the tangibles that I think they're probably looking for, along with the athleticism.
Finally, Daryl, because people keep asking me, people want to know what Daryl Morris is doing.
Well, Daryl Morris is working for Cargill Ag Horizons. I'm in sales position and, you know, selling fertilizer and herbicide and you know, crop inputs and meeting people, and that's one thing I wanted to do. You know, this has been my home for 30 years, and because the guys at UNK say I have to leave the office, doesn't mean I have to leave Kearney. So my wife and I made a decision that we wanted to stay in Kearney because it's our home, and her parents are here in Kearney, and they need some support here and there. So we made the decision, and Pargill Ag Horizons was kind enough to allow me to do that.
Good Lord, if you're selling fertilizer, you could co-host this show anytime.
Well, you guys are spread manure. There's no question.
I'll throw this out before we wrap it up because I know you got a meeting. Coach Kropp is not a guy that's a media guy. You've always been more than and he talks with us. I'm not saying that, but you never have minded coming on the show. But Coach Kropp decided to hang him up. You guys were in the halls for all those years together.
We were, you know, and Tom's, you know, as you think about Kearney State athletics and UNK athletics, I mean. What name comes to the front before Tom Kropp? Nobody's. I mean, Tom was a tremendous athlete. He was a tremendous coach. He had an impact on kids from, you know, from all over the state of Nebraska and elsewhere. And it's a loss for the kids that aren't going to be able to be associated with Tom Kropp as it comes through the basketball program.
Daryl, appreciate you jumping in and talking with us on the show when you're a busy guy. So we'll see you soon. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, buddy.
That's Daryl Morris, former UNK football coach. His lineman, offensive lineman, Cole Manhart. That's what we call him because he did, as Coach said, he did a little bit of everything. And we'll talk with Cole. We're going to try and make a connection with him here at this juncture. And we thank the coach for coming on and joining us. But he thinks that's such a key. You can't pigeonhole yourself unless you're a first-round, second-round pick. You have to be versatile and be able to do a variety of things, whether it's guard, tackle, center, whatever they need him to do. At least that gives you some flexibility to make the team.
Yeah, and Doug, I'm going to put you on the spot, and you probably know this already. But how many players do they keep? Do you know in the NFL, I know they – how many players do they have? Is it 48?
47.
Okay.
With a five-man –
okay,
with a five-man taxi squad or whatever.
Yeah, kind of reserved. They keep those guys, and right. So there's 52, 53 in that area, right? Yeah. Got it. Yeah,
practice squad,
yeah.
As the case may be. And he's been a busy man, but a big weekend for Cole Manhart, and he joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, along with Jim Langan here on ESPN Radio. Cole, great to track you down. We just had Coach Morris on. First off, congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Well, really appreciate it. What are you doing right now? What have you been doing since you and the Eagles decided it was time to get together?
You know, believe it or not, just got back to work this morning, working out and trying to get ready for rookie Manning camp coming up on Friday.
Are you still in Cali?
I'm actually out in Denver now.
Okay.
That's where my mom's from and everything. So I trained out in Cali earlier this year, got ready for my pro day, and then came back to Denver and was out here for the draft and everything.
Hey, Cole, Jim Langan here. Question I got for you, and I know you've done this. I haven't, but when you look at the roster of the Eagles, and what are the chances you think you might be playing center instead of some of the positions you've been playing?
You know, there's probably a better chance of me moving inside and playing guard or center than tackle in the NFL, and that was a big decision for me deciding to go with the Eagles. They hadn't drafted an offensive lineman in the last 2 years, and just taking a look at their depth chart, you know, they have some really great guys up front, you know, those starting guys, and then, but there's always room to come in and battle, and that was something I had to look at when I decided where I was going to go in free agency.
We've talked to a lot of free agents on this program, and I always ask the same question. Were you disappointed that you didn't get drafted? Because the side is, hey, they say my name on TV, and I can say I was drafted, which would have been the first loper since 87, but then the bright side is you can kind of pick who you go play for.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, I wanted to be drafted since I was a little kid. That's something that you look forward to your whole career and playing football and everything. But you know, on the same side, going as a free agent opens a lot of doors for you because you get to decide where you're going to go. You get to take a look at the rosters, see your best chance to make a football team. And that's ideally what it comes down to. You know, getting drafted is nice, but at the end of the day, it's about getting on the roster and actually being able to play and suit up for a team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Getting on that roster is really very the most. And we were just talking. Do they have? Is it a 53-man roster? Is that what they keep right now? Is it 53 guys?
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah, 53. And so you know, hey, I'll tell you what. That's a better salary than the one I made. If you can make those top 53, hey, I take it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking with Cole Manhart here, who signs on with the Philadelphia Eagles. How soon do you put some Eagles gear on? When do you report?
Well, I head out this Thursday. I fly out there. You know, we get physicals and everything underway, get the lay of the land, and then Friday we're right into it with the rookie minicamp, all the guys that were drafted, and then the undrafted free agents that they sign, and we get after it this Friday in some Eagles gear.
We asked Coach Morris just a couple of moments ago how your draft stock changed from your junior to your senior year. How do you think it changed?
You know, it's your junior year. That's a big year to get noticed and everything. And then just, even though I didn't get drafted, my name just kind of got out there after I had my, a lot of people didn't know we did a junior pro day at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and we had some scouts come out. And that's when your name really gets thrown out there into the mix. And that just really helped me out my senior year and everything. Being able to go to the bowl game, being able to get accepted to go do my pro day at the University of Nebraska, you know, it really did help me. And a lot of guys are going through the same thing. So how it really affected my draft stock, I'm not sure. But just being able to get my name out there and, you know, having the success I did at Nebraska Kearney, it really did help me land in Philadelphia and giving the best shot to make the NFL.
Scouts and coaches are different, although they've probably all been a whistle around their neck at some point. Have you actually got to talk with any of the Eagle coaches?
I have. Actually, when I did my pro day at the University of Nebraska, that was the first time I came in contact with the assistant offensive line coach of the Eagles, and I got to work out right in front of him. He was the one who worked this out. And then throughout the whole process, I stayed in touch with him. I stayed in touch with Coach Stoutland. He's the head offensive line coach at the Eagles throughout the process. They came out and visited me. The chief of staff for the Eagles came out and visited me at my home in Denver. And we just kind of kept a relationship going, talking throughout the whole process. And, you know, that was a big decision for me, too, for why I wanted to go there. It was because a lot of teams called me after the draft was done, but I felt like I had a relationship with these guys. I talked to them. I knew where I was going to go, what type of program and team I was going to go to. So I wasn't going in there blind, and that was a big thing for me.
What did they tell you about your game? They always seem to say more about what you need to work on as opposed to what you're really good at, but what'd they tell you?
You know, they told me that in their offense, you know, Chip Kelly brought a little bit of the different offense to Philadelphia, and that, you know, I was athletic enough in their schemes to be able to get out and run, move on the inside, that they're going to, you know, work on developing me, still developing my size and everything, but that I can, you know, run, do well in the run game and then get out and run for them. And that's something that they look for in offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's what Coach said, too. He said, you know, the Eagles, and I don't know a better way to say it, but they really spread their running attack. You know, they spread that whole field out there a little bit. And so, you know, they look for angles. They'll wait a little bit before they make that cutback. And they need their offensive linemen to be able to go vertically and horizontally up and down the field. So I think that's right. I think that team, more than anybody else in the NFL, does that with their running game and tries to get things, just like Oregon's offense was in college football, to some degree.
Yes, sir. Exactly. That's exactly how I saw it as well.
Cole, who was your team growing up? Who was your NFL team growing up?
Well, I'm from Denver, so the Denver Broncos were always my team growing up.
Did it matter? I mean, did you kind of hope Denver would want you?
You know, a little bit, but at the same time, just going through the process, I realized, you know, there's 32 teams out there, and whoever wants to take a shot on me, that's going to be my new favorite team. But you know, I got to work out for the Broncos prior to the draft and everything, and it was a great opportunity. But, you know, now I'm an Eagles fan, so, you know, they took a shot on me, so that's where I'm at now.
Well, the Eagles didn't dominate in the draft with offensive linemen. They had some other positions that they needed to shore up. So I'm guessing you were pretty high on their list.
Yeah. You know, they told me throughout the process just to be ready by my phone. And that, you know, they were going to rebuild a lot of their stuff on the defensive side this year. But about the seventh round, I knew that I was going to go to Philadelphia, whether I got drafted or not. You know, I was waiting, but me to come to, you know, started talking about signing a contract and everything. Coming into the seventh round, you know, after the draft was completed, that was probably where I was going to go.
You know, Cole, I played some basketball, and there were some times where I played against somebody, and I thought, holy cow, am I out of my realm with this guy. This guy is so much better than me. I didn't realize it, but I got to get through this 20 minutes with trying to make it the best it can be. I got to restrict the damage down. With you, I mean, you've probably haven't had that at UNK, where you might have if you went to a higher level. I mean, I'm just saying, let's say you played against a USC lineman or an Alabama or an Ohio State lineman. Are there any concerns that you have about, like, picking up stunts or anything like that?
You know, I actually got to play against a lot of those guys from Division I schools when I played in that bowl game. That was something, you know, at first I was waiting to see how the competition was going to fare in regards to that. And then just getting out there and realizing that it is football. And that, you know, at the end of the day, it's technique and everything. You're going to have to focus on that to be able to beat those guys. But, you know, I do realize moving forward that I'm going to be going against 11 guys every day that are professionals. And that, you know, maybe I played one guy a week in college that was like that. That everything's going to have to be sharper, better, and that I'm going to have to be out on the top of my game every week, every day at practice to be able to make the team. So, you know, that is something that I'm going to have to focus on moving forward, where I could get away with stuff in college a little bit more because I wasn't playing the level of competition that a lot of these guys were playing in Division I. But moving forward, I fully expect to go in and compete every day and, you know, get better every day so I can compete with these guys.
Last minute here with Cole Manhart, signed a free agent deal with the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend. He takes off later this week to strap on the Eagle gear for the first time. And again, we've mentioned it a couple of times on the show, but Cole, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I guess you're the only Eagle that I'll root for. Although that would have been cool, blocking for Peyton Manning as opposed to whatever Chip decides to do this year. But I want to go back, just get a couple college comments from you. How difficult was it from a player's perspective, now that you're out of college, sometimes we get a little bit better perspective on the RMAC to the MIAA, which you played most of your career in the last 3 years, obviously, in the MIAA?
You know, moving forward from the RMAC to the MIAA, we really just did get to see a jump in athletic ability and the type of players we were going against every week, just the increased number of scholarships, just seeing how much more prepared these teams were than the teams that we played in the RMAC. You know, I wouldn't go back and change anything because it really just helped me develop as a player going against a little bit higher caliber players. But, you know, it really was a big jump moving from the RMAC to the MIAA.
And what do you take away from UNK?
Oh, it was the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, I owe Coach Morris everything. He's a great coach. And, you know, when you're a high school kid, you know, you can get away with just being a big kid, being, you know, somewhat athletic. But, you know, I came in, I was pretty raw, and he turned me into an offensive lineman. His technique, teaching me technique and just teaching me how to approach it as a business. You know, he made you earn everything, and the whole program, I loved everything about UNK. I wouldn't change anything in the world. I'm happy that they gave me an opportunity, and I'll always have a special place in my heart for UNK.
Now, the Football Backers fundraiser is tomorrow night. Can we, like, promise a Cole Manhart autographed Philadelphia Eagles practice jersey or something?
I don't know about that yet. You know, might have to wait until I get out there and get things settled in. And then, you know, I'm definitely have plans to help UNK out in the future and do whatever I can to help the program out.
Now, I know he was on the other side of the ball, and I thought maybe, do you got any Bob Crocker stories for me?
Oh, Coach Crocker. You know, words can't describe how much love I have for Coach Crocker, and you know he. Even though we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time talking football because he was on the other side of the ball, but you know, you talk about salt of the earth guy. He always I ever had a problem or anything my whole career, I knew I could go in his office and sit there and talk with him, and whether it was about football or life or anything, you know, helping me out, getting me a job, trying to help me get money in my pocket. You know, Coach Crocker, he's one of the class act guys out in Nebraska, and you know, I look up to him a lot.
All right, Cole, we've got your number now, so we're going to hunt you down constantly throughout your all-pro career, okay?
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show.
Cole, congratulations. Best of luck, man.
Yep, thank you.
That's former Loper, now Philadelphia Eagle Cole Manhart, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a name that we've talked about a bunch over the last 3 years, and he's going to get his shot. That's all you can ask for, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. You know what I enjoyed about this, too, Doug, was the relationship that he still has with his coaches. And, you know, the thing of it is in athletics, and if this happens so often, in basketball and football that, and maybe in other sports too, but it seems like it happens in basketball and football a lot, where coaches have had a lot of success. They work their tail off, and they end up getting fired from their jobs. And then all of a sudden, you come back with a story like this, and, hey, his football coaches at UNK are the guys that were fired. And he has a lot of respect for him. And I think, you know, our listeners out there, if there's anything you have to understand, is that, you know, these players and coaches spend a lot of time together. And, hey, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out about winning enough games, but you can tell the relationships they built. You know, which is really what it's all about anyway. I mean, unfortunately, winning games comes into play, but the relationships is something that no one can ever take away from you. And you could tell by this interview and by we're talking to the head coach and the love he has for Crocker, and then just talking to him that, hey, you know what? He didn't think a coaching change needed to be made. He was happy with the coaches that he had, you know. So the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, just because things end, it doesn't mean it ends for them. This will always be their coaches, and he'll have great memories of UNK football.
No doubt about it. And again, a reminder that the Loper Football Backers 6th annual fundraiser is tomorrow night at the Eunice Conference Center in Kearney. Evening starts with social hour at 5:30, dinner and silent auction at 6:30. The live auction is at 7:30. Tickets are $40 per person. Corporate tables that seat 10 are $500, and you can find out more at lopers.com about all the great items that they'll be putting on their auction, but it's tomorrow night. Also want to let folks know that the Kearney American Legion annual barbecue fundraiser is this Friday night. It's always been out at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. The Legion kids are there. Same kind of a deal. They've always had some cool autographed items, some local items as well, some golf trips, a little silent and live auction. Gets underway at 6 o'clock. Come out whenever you win, whenever you can. But a $10 ticket gets you all you can eat, all you can drink, and it goes on for a couple, 3 hours there at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. The annual Kearney American Legion baseball barbecue fundraiser is coming up on Friday night.
Yeah,
you'll be there.
Yes, I will. And hey, I'm really thankful we have somebody like Terry Broadfoot that will donate that building and the time he does and what he does for the American Legion. There's a lot of other people to do that, but just hats off to him because he's had that thing there at his place, and it's always been a fun time.
Couple other notes, and then we'll get on out of here from the weekend. UNK baseball, we mentioned they got beat by Central Missouri. Hastings battled after that first loss. They battled and battled, but that's tough to win all those in a double elimination bracket tournament like that. They made it to Saturday and fell to Dakota Wesleyan. The Nebraska softball team will open the Big Ten tournament in Columbus, Ohio. They'll probably face Ohio State, who is the sixth team in the 6-11 bracket, so they should beat Indiana, then play the Huskers Friday afternoon at 4:30. They took 2 of 3 over the weekend from Illinois. Mentioned the Royals. They have a day off. Then Cleveland will roll in. Anything else you wanted to hit? District soccer gets underway today. We talked about that. Kearney girls will be up at Baldwin Park tonight in their first round game. That gets underway at 5 o'clock. I think that's it, Jimmy. I think that's it. Grand Island Baseball, they're at Columbus to wrap up their regular season. Over 2,500 shooters at the 46th annual Cornhusker Trap Shoot. Congratulations to the Cornhusker Cup winner, which happens to be out of Papillion La Vista this year, and Dean Rogers and Katie Peterson of Omaha Marion won the ladies division. Also for UNK, the tennis team is currently playing Northwest Missouri State after winning on Sunday. The men play tomorrow in the NCAA postseason. Anna Summers at the Central Regional shot 77 yesterday, got off to a bad start, but four birdies got her back to 77. She's tied for sixth in the regional. And at the MIAA Track Championships, the women were sixth, the men were seventh this past weekend. Now they're starting to get ready for the national tournament. Hey, we want to thank Cole Manhart and Daryl Morris for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today, as well as Tri-City Storm coach Jim Holton as they get ready for the draft. Jimmy, have a great week, man.
Yep. See you later, Doug.
See you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.